Lord, we thank you that you speak to us and that it is a word of hope, a word of Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep and our great Savior. And so, Lord, as we come to hear your word now, we ask that you would show to us Jesus, that you would encourage us with the good news of salvation in his name, what it means that you have acted to save us, to atone for our sins, and to set before us the certain and sure promise of entrance into resurrection life in Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you, and we ask that you would be with us now by your Spirit to open our hearts that we might see Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in the Old Testament, or otherwise give your ear to the Word of God from the Psalms. Our Old Testament reading coming from Psalm 130. Psalm 130, the Word of God, give your attention to it. A song of ascents. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This is the word of God from the Psalms. Turn with me now as well to the Gospel of Matthew, or New Testament reading and sermon text as we continue through the book in Matthew chapter 25, looking at verses 1 to 13. As the psalmist we just read spoke of waiting on the Lord and his redemption, here Christ calls us to wait patiently and to be prepared to wait patiently for his return. The Word of God, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Expectations can be a dangerous thing to get wrong in any area of life. I'm sure that you've all had this experience, both in small ways and in some larger areas, recognizing that you expected things would turn out a certain way and then found out you were very mistaken. Everything from wanting to prepare a nice meal. Maybe you go online and you see someone has made this beautiful presentation and this beautiful looking dish, and then you try your hand at making it and it comes out looking like slop. Happens very frequently to some of us. Or perhaps you have gone on travel and been unprepared. You didn't expect or anticipate the things that you needed, and you found that you had to do without or suffered as a result. Perhaps you yourself have found that various relationships don't meet expectations, that you have relationships with friends. Those of you who have gone through engagement and marriage and years of life together, you know that very often you have expectations that then are not met. You expect things are going to go a certain direction, and then you find that you were mistaken. Well, Jesus here in Matthew 25 is encouraging you to set your expectations for the Christian life and the return of Jesus accordingly. Jesus tells you that you don't know, you can't know when he's coming back, and so you need to be prepared for a little bit of a wait. You need to be prepared to act with proper expectation that Jesus is coming back, but you don't know when. And it might not be soon. It might be after a delay. So as we look at the text, I ask you, are you prepared for Jesus to return? And I ask that question very specifically with this text, because when that question is usually asked, or when you think of, you know, am I ready for Jesus to come back? The usual expectation is, well, it could be this moment. Am I right with God right now? And certainly, you should consider that. You should consider, are you rightly related to God in Jesus? That is the criterion of final judgment, of are you in Christ by faith or are you not? But the question comes from this text with a slightly different nuance. Are you prepared for the return of Christ in the sense that it is going to be delayed? It might not be this very moment. You should certainly consider if you are rightly related to the Lord in Christ, but you should also, as you are rightly related to the Lord in Christ, as you are in Jesus by faith, you also should think, am I prepared for a delay? Am I prepared for the not yet? Am I prepared for the years of my life, which may come between now and the return of Jesus? Another way to think about this is, are you connecting the dots in your day-to-day life between your hope as a Christian that Jesus is coming back and you are going to be at the wedding feast of the Lamb? That's your future reality as a Christian. Are you connecting the dots between that and your present reality of waiting on him, waiting on the Lord, waiting on Jesus' return? We're going to examine the text, this parable, in two ways. First, Jesus says, essentially, you should expect a delay. And second, you should be ready for the feast. Expect a delay and be ready for the feast. By way of reminder, why is Jesus telling this parable about these 10 young girls, or translated 10 virgins here in the ESV? Why is Jesus telling this parable? Remember, Jesus is still answering the question that his disciples have asked him back in chapter 24, verse 3. The disciples have asked him, what will be the sign of Jesus' return and of the end of the age, Jesus is still answering that question. And Jesus' answer to that question is, there won't be recognizable signs for my return. It'll be like a flash of lightning in the sky. It'll be visible to everyone, but it'll be immediate. This answer came, for example, in verse 27 of chapter 24, which we've considered, that Jesus' return will be immediate. It's not going to have discernible earthly signs where you can look and then predict that Jesus is coming back. Jesus reaffirms this here in verse 13 of chapter 25, where he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Jesus is very clear that yes, he is coming back, but you don't know when. And so he tells this parable of the kingdom, where part of the point is to be prepared for a delay. We see Jesus tells this parable, and he compares the kingdom of heaven to these 10 young girls who took lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. There's a wedding going on. Evidently, there is a feast that these young women are invited to. These would probably have been understood to be 10 young girls who were part of either the bride's family or the groom's family. They're part of the wedding party. And five of them, we read in verse 2, are foolish, and five were wise. And the difference between the two, we come to find out, is that the wise are those who were prepared for a delay of the groom. They go, and verse 3, the foolish don't take any extra oil for their lamps, but the wise, verse 4, take extra oil. And then we find out that the bridegroom was delayed in verse 5. We don't know why he is delayed. And a further note on this text, Jesus is setting general principles. Jesus is not telling a specific allegory here, right? So the oil, for example, the oil is not representative of some specific thing, as if to be prepared for Jesus, you need to, the oil is like your Bible, and you need to have your Bible with you all the time and know it, or whatever you might think specifically. Jesus is making a general principle about being prepared for the delay of the return of the groom. He's not giving overly specific allegorical detail where you can make a one-to-one correspondence between what is this oil? What is the lamp? What's my lamp? What's my oil? How do I do this to be ready for the feast? That's not the point of Jesus' parable. That's not how this text is working. Rather, Jesus is communicating that the bridegroom might be delayed, and the wise in the kingdom are those who are prepared for that unexpected delay. It's helpful perhaps also to remember that it's new information that comes to God's people that the day of the Lord happens in two parts. When you read the Old Testament and you read about the day of the Lord and the day of salvation, it's a single day. And then Jesus comes and we find out it's one day that comes in two parts, the first and the second return of Christ. Christ comes and the day of the Lord, judgment breaks in upon Jesus himself, bearing the sin of you, his people. And then a second part of that day, when Jesus returns, of which he speaks here as being delayed. The bridegroom was delayed, and they all became drowsy and slept. Verse 5. So there are five young girls who are wise. They've got extra oil. They were prepared perhaps for a delay. There's five young girls who did not expect a delay. They thought everything would go according to their expectations of a quick procession, and ultimately they are shown to be foolish and in fact find themselves outside of the feast itself. Note that all 10 of them fall asleep. It's possible that this is an allusion to death and resurrection. Scripture speaks of the death, particularly of the death of believers, as falling asleep. It's possible that that's being alluded to here, but again, Jesus isn't speaking in specific allegory. So again, it seems more likely that Jesus is making a general point that the bridegroom is going to be delayed. Jesus in his return is going to be a little while, and it might feel like a long enough delay that you stop paying attention, that you grow weary and fall asleep, that you are not alert to it because you've been waiting for a while. And if you've ever been waiting for a phone call or waiting for someone to meet you and they get late, after a while you start to wonder, did this person forget the appointment? Did I get the time wrong? What's going on here? Jesus is saying that the delay, as picturing all 10 of these young girls as falling asleep, the delay is going to be something like that. It's not going to be someone who sets a 10 o'clock appointment and shows up at 10:05. Right? This is a long and unexpected delay. All of the girls fall asleep as a result. What does this mean for you in your Christian life? Well, do you expect that your Christian faith is going to provide a quick fix or a quick out to the suffering of this present evil age? Do you expect that as you come to faith in Christ, or as you continue to place your faith in Christ, that all of your suffering is going to be quickly and immediately ended? Do you believe that Jesus must come back tomorrow to deliver me out of my present trial, because I know he will do so? Do you associate an expected time with the return of Christ when he says specifically that you don't know when he's coming back? Jesus says very clearly he's going to be delayed. It shouldn't be surprising that there has been 2 millennia of history between Jesus saying these words and you sitting here now. One thing that should be at least an encouragement here, thinking of expecting Jesus to be delayed, you need not fear that the message of the gospel is somehow less certain or sure to you simply because it's been 2,000 years since Jesus first came. Jesus said there was going to be a long delay, unexpected delay, the kind of delay that causes everyone to fall asleep waiting for him. As you are a Christian, brothers and sisters, you should not be surprised if there are many long nights, many long years between your first trust in Jesus and his final return to set you free from everything which you suffer. You've seen the Lord already deliver you in the death and resurrection of Christ. You are united to Jesus in his death and resurrection by faith. Are you prepared to wait a while between now and when you eat and drink new with him in the kingdom of God? Do you become overly discouraged when you get bad news of death in the family, of sickness or illness? Does it discourage you to the point of despair when sin and sorrow press all around you? Are you constantly expecting to enjoy the things of heaven, to enjoy lasting security, lasting pleasure, here and now, rather than in the age to come? So these are the kinds of wrong expectations that Jesus is hedging against as he says, we don't know the day or the hour. There's going to be a delay. and it might be for a little while. But just as Jesus here in this parable says that you should expect a delay, you should expect a time between now and the return of Jesus, Jesus also, to those of you who are Christians, Jesus says you also should be ready, be expectant for the feast. The delay of the bridegroom doesn't mean that the feast is canceled. The fact that you suffer, the fact that you and your life are not what you want them to be, does not somehow mean that the big party has been canceled. Jesus has promised you, if you believe in him, he will give to you resurrection life. And that is clearly pictured throughout the scripture, from Old Testament, here through this parable, all the way through to the end of the Bible in Revelation, as the great wedding supper, the great wedding feast of the Lamb. That's where Jesus is taking you. He's taking you to the feast. And so for some of you, it might be very easy to be ready for a delay. Okay, I know that Jesus is coming back sometime in the future, and I know that it might be a while, and okay, I know that Scripture tells me that I'm going to have trouble in this present evil age, and I know these things. I know the nature of this fallen world, and I'm ready for that. But Jesus here in presenting the wedding feast, and the wise get to go in, Jesus sets before you a reminder that even though this delay may be so long as that his disciples fall asleep, the feast is not canceled. Jesus is still coming back, and he is coming back for you. He's coming back for you to bring you into the wedding feast that God has set before you. As you are in Christ Jesus by faith, you already have your ticket. You have your entrance sealed by the blood of Christ. And even if there are another 100,000 years of human history before Jesus comes back, it is certain that he's coming back, and it is certain that you will be admitted as you are in Christ. You see, ultimately, the divide between these foolish and wise is not only that the foolish were unprepared for the delay, but that they are those who do not know the Lord in the first place. And this is where it is clear that Jesus is speaking of something approximating the final judgment here. The other young women come, verse 11, after they've gone out to buy, they weren't ready. And then they say, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Ultimately, the difference between those who are ready for the return of Christ and those who are not, those who know the Lord Jesus and those who do not. I say this to you, brothers and sisters, that you might be encouraged from the scripture that Jesus, who knows you, and you who know Jesus by faith, what God has set in front of you is a feast. It might be a little while before you get there. The bridegroom may be delayed for some time. It might even be the kind of delay that causes you to wonder from time to time if the bridegroom is really going to show up. But God's promise to you is that Jesus is coming back. You do have an entrance into the wedding feast, and you should not be surprised at the delay between. The things that you suffer, do you connect the dots in your life between these two realities? That you shouldn't be surprised at trouble that you have in this life, because the bridegroom is delayed. He's not back yet. However, by the same token, you do not need to be overwhelmed with grief and sorrow and stress and trouble, because you see that the feast is still scheduled. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back to rescue you. Not a second time from sin. Your sin has already been atoned for, but to rescue you from all the remaining elements of the fall, from evil surrounding you, from sorrows, from death, and the presence of sin itself. It's not the word of Pastor Josh, it's the word of God to you. It's his promise to you. Jesus promises you he's coming back. It might be delayed, but he's coming back. And as you know the Lord Jesus by faith, you are invited by the grace of God into the wedding feast of the Lamb. This feast we are about to enjoy as a small picture in the Lord's Supper. And I invite all of you, as you consider the promise of God, and as we are about to see visibly manifested the promise of God in the bread and the cup, I invite you to examine your own heart. Are you overly surprised by how long it seems this present evil age can drag on? Are you tempted to lose hope? Are you tempted to despair, as if there will never be a day of joy and rejoicing and feasting again? Jesus tells you that all these expectations are wrong. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the resurrection joy is coming. The night may be long. We might fall asleep. We might wonder, where is Jesus? Where is the deliverance that God promises? Why does evil continue in the world around me? Why do I suffer the way that I do? And yet the word of God to you is, do not lose heart. This is all according to God's plans. He loves you in the Lord Jesus. He has saved you, and the feast is coming. Joy is coming. The morning is coming. Resurrection is coming because Jesus is coming back. And in that hope, let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the promise of the return of our Savior Jesus. We thank you that he came to be the Savior for sinners. That as your word says, that the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. So, Lord, we also look to that promise and believe upon the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. And, Lord, as the years go on and as we observe the effects of the fall around us, we confess that the cry of our hearts is often, how long, O Lord? How long will you permit your people to suffer from the remaining presence of sin and from the effects of the fall? And so, Lord, we thank you that we have the promise that this is not unexpected, that Jesus has told us that there would be a delay, that it would be even perhaps a long time until his return, for we do not know the hour. And yet we thank you, Lord, that the day is fixed and the promise is certain that Jesus is coming back. And so we ask, Lord, that we would not lose heart, that we would not give in to despair, but that we would remember your promise and that we would remember the glorious hope set before us that Jesus is coming back, that he will bring us into his glorious kingdom, and that we will be invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And so, Lord, we thank you for Jesus and your great salvation to us in his name. Amen.